This is Africa News Tonight on the Voice of America.
Hello, welcome to VOA Africa. Thank you for joining us. I'm Douglas Impuga, and here is what's coming up.
I have purposely built into the way that we are approaching this follow-through, so that even before we left the United States, we had a plan for follow-through.
That was U.S. Vice President Kamala Harris speaking to journalists after her visit to Ghana. Also, Harris aims to bolster U.S. ties with Tanzania, and Zimbabwe considers abolishing the death penalty. All this and more coming up on Africa News Tonight. Vice President Kamala Harris concludes her three-day visit to Ghana today, Wednesday, with a roundtable of women entrepreneurs to discuss economic empowerment and leadership. Today, she spoke with some of the journalists traveling with her about her visit to Ghana. She said it's true there are questions about the new U.S. push to engage with African nations, in part because for several years, there was little U.S. effort to build relationships on the continent.
But as it relates specifically to this continent, we also share the burdens of some of the specific references to this continent that were made by the past administration, and a concern that we follow up. And that should be a legitimate concern of anyone when statements are made about what we aspire and hope to do. That's just a natural response that any of us have in our personal or professional lives, right? Which is it going to happen? I have purposely built into the way that we are approaching this follow-through, so that even before we left the United States, we had a plan for follow-through. For example, the convening that I just did, part of the follow-through is that the ambassador to Ghana will now lead up and chair basically an advisory group that we have just created, where she will, through the embassy, host regular meetings with women entrepreneurs here.
VOA White House correspondent Anita Paul asked the vice president about the linkages between security, good governance, and the empowerment of women.
And one of them is reinforcing good governance and democracy. And so in every bilateral conversation I have with almost any world leader, that is a topic that we raise, because we do believe it is in the best interest of prosperity and security for the globe. When it comes specifically to this continent and the correlation between that and women's empowerment, there's no question, right? When you have transparency in systems, when you have accountability in systems, when you create a system where rule of law is important, equal rights are defended and protected, you will see greater empowerment of all people, including women, especially if they have been behind or you see extreme disparities. So there's a correlation there, and we're going to continue to work on it, knowing that they're interconnected.
That was U.S. Vice President Kamala Harris speaking with journalists as she wrapped up her trip to Ghana. Ghana's Information Minister Kojo Apong Nkrumah shares more details about Vice President Harris's visit with Daybreak Africa host James Bate, beginning with her meeting with President Nana Akufo-Addo.
Meeting focused primarily on how to deepen economic relations between the U.S. and Ghana, starting from Ghana's current efforts to consolidate the stability agenda and the role that the U.S. can play in assisting, you know, Ghana to achieve that. And then on the other hand, the meeting also focused on security, how the U.S. and Ghana could work together to deepen the security agenda in the West Africa subregion and across the continent as well.
That was Ghana's Information Minister Kojo Apong Nkrumah. He spoke with my colleague James Batty. U.S. Vice President Kamala Harris's visit to Tanzania this week comes as relations have greatly improved under President Samia Suluhu Hassan. While the late President John Magufuli pursued China-backed mega projects and cracked down on critics, Hassan has promised to let democracy flourish. Mokbil Yebro has this report prepared by Charles Kombe in Dar es Salaam, Tanzania.
Onesmo Olengurumwa has long fought for democracy and human rights in Tanzania. He says it was a harder struggle under the rule of President John Magufuli, who died 2 years ago from a heart ailment. Olengurumwa works with the Tanzanian Human Rights Defenders Coalition.
We faced a lot of challenges as an activist group. We received numerous letters from the authorities asking us to stop our work as human rights defenders. We were repeatedly questioned by the authorities, and our internal meetings were often disrupted without any specific reason.
Magufuli focused on large Chinese-backed infrastructure projects like a standard gauge railway. Beijing also built the Mwalimu Nyerere Leadership School, a Communist Party training school that critics say promotes the Chinese single-party ideology. After his death, then-Vice President Samia Suluhu Hassan rose to power and has since then taken steps to advance democracy and expand diplomatic ties. In video supplied by the Tanzanian State House, she says reforms will take time.
Every journey of development begins with a step, and that progress will come gradually according to the laws and guidelines set for Tanzania. I promise you, my fellow countrymen, that reforms are there. And we will build a new nation, a nation of Tanzania with competitive politics and without violence.
The U.S. has taken note of President Hassan's actions to promote democracy and improve human rights. U.S. Vice President Kamala Harris arrives there later today, and her visit is seen as part of the U.S. efforts to strengthen ties. Haji Semboja is a political analyst and a lecturer on the Faculty of Political Science at the University of Dar es Salaam.
Currently, the president is showing signs of wanting to build a democratic country. That is why the United States sees us as allies and believes we can work together. In this partnership we are speaking about, first and foremost, the U.S. will assist us in strengthening democracy, justice, and freedom in our country. Therefore, our president will be willing to look at all institutions related to democratic issues.
Despite challenges, Olengurumwa says he's hopeful Tanzania will continue to move further toward justice and democracy. Mokbil Yabaro with VOA News for Charles Kombe in Dar es Salaam.
For a deeper look at Vice President Kamala Harris's visit to Tanzania, I spoke with Deodatus Balile, the chairperson of Tanzania Editors Forum. He's also the managing editor of Jamhuri Media Limited, publishers of a weekly investigative newspaper, Jamhuri. He told me that Tanzanians are excited about Harris's visit to the East African nation.
In total, we are so much excited to have this high-level delegation visiting Tanzania. We understand that the ties between the U.S. and Tanzania through this kind of visit will be growing high and higher.
The vice president, she has been in Ghana, and while there, she highlighted the role of women and women emancipation. The Tanzanian president is a woman too. Do you think that's going to be beneficial to their discussions?
Without even a second of hesitation, I can say 100% her visit is going to be an impetus, a motivation to most women here in Tanzania to make sure that they also go for high offices. Because it has been a norm in most African countries where presidential candidates or presidents mainly have been men. And President Samia Suluhu Hassan has been setting the pace, let's say, for East Africa. She has become the first woman president for any East African countries. And along the line of history in Tanzania, she has been the first as well. So we think her visit and it is going to bring about the courage, to bring about the composure for people to see that, okay, President Samia, she's not alone. And other women are holding high offices in other countries, especially in a big country like USA. So it is an encouragement and a motivation to most women and men as well to see that we are not unique, because at a time, some people might be thinking that it's only Tanzania which has a woman president or a woman at such a high level. So I think this is an encouragement for the society in general.
President Samia has been hailed recently for her changes in the political landscape of Tanzania and giving room to opposition. Do you think that also may factor in as far as the region is concerned?
Sure. Of course, worldwide, it has been a concern that civic space was closing at a supersonic speed here in Tanzania in the past 7 years. But with the coming of President Samia, she set up a task force to review the political situation in the country. And she ordered the Minister for Information, Nape Nnauye, to, in collaboration with the media stakeholders, review media laws, and even today we had a meeting an annual retreat for editors here in Tanzania, graced by Minister Mnape, where now the government has submitted a proposal to the parliament for media laws review. So we are seeing these signs, which I'm aware the diplomatic corps will be even notifying Her Excellency Vice President of these kind of changes which are effected by President Samia, and not just being effected, apart from looking at the legal ambit, she has gone a bit ahead by visiting the opposition party meeting on the 8th of March. So she's a kind of opening civic space, and this is what the world is looking for, and is something to applaud.
That's Deodatus Balile, the chairperson of Tanzania Editors Forum, also managing editor of Jamhuri Media Limited, publishers of weekly investigative newspaper Jamhuri. He spoke with me from Dar es Salaam, Tanzania. You're listening to Africa News Tonight. I'm Douglas Impuga in Washington. For more information on these and other stories from the continent, please see voaafrica.com. There you'll find all your favorite VOA radio and TV programs and a whole lot more. For more world news, check out voanews.com. Lawmakers in Lesotho will discuss today whether the country should push to reclaim large sections of land from neighboring South Africa. Opposition leader Sepo Lefolo of the Basotho Convenient Movement proposed a motion that would declare South Africa's neighboring Free State province a part of Lesotho. The claim is based on a 1962 United Nations resolution calling for the right of self-determination and independence for the people of Basotholand, as the country was then called. Reuters News reports if the motion passes in the Assembly, it would kick off a process that could see the territorial claim turned into law. There was no immediate comment from either the Lesotho government or the South African government. Zimbabwe's government has started 2 weeks of nationwide consultations on whether to abolish capital punishment for people convicted of premeditated murder. As Columbus Mavunga reports for VOA, people's views on the issue are varied.
Zimbabwe's government says it has signed a number of international treaties which require it to ask citizens if they still want capital punishment as a possible sentence for people convicted of murder or treason. Netsai Zvakasikwa is the director in the Law Division Commission in Zimbabwe's Ministry of Justice, Legal and Parliamentary Affairs.
So we want to hear the voice of the people, want to hear their opinions, their views with regards to the death penalty. What really is the position of the people of Zimbabwe?
It appears Zimbabweans have a wide range of views based on public hearings. Faston Mangezi is a farmer. He says what is important is to prevent a person convicted of murder from rejoining his community, not to hang him, just give him a sentence that will not allow him back to normal life, says Mangezi. 39-year-old Godfrey Chikwezero disagrees. He says if someone kills someone, he must be hanged. We have heard so many cases of murderers leaving jail and coming back into the community to commit the same crime, he says. Zimbabwe has not executed a death row inmate since 2005. President Emmerson Mnangagwa has indicated that he is against the penalty. Roslina Muzerengi, a campaign coordinator at Amnesty International in Zimbabwe, hopes the current hearings will lead to the abolition of capital punishment. But she says the public needs more time to debate such a contentious issue.
And it would have been prudent if enough time had been given before the public hearings to enable communities to better understand the reasons why we are saying that the death penalty should be removed from our statutes.
Once the consultations are over, President Mnangagwa is expected to decide whether the country holds a public referendum on the issue or simply keep the death penalty on the books. Columbus Mavungam for VOA News, Karoi, Zimbabwe.
Authorities in Malawi have deployed excavators to help locate dead bodies believed to be trapped under the rubble after Cyclone Freddy destroyed houses 2 weeks ago. The cyclone, which also hit Mozambique and Madagascar, killed nearly 600 people in Malawi, leaving over 500,000 people homeless. Lameka Masina reports for VOA from Blantyre, Malawi.
Charles Kalemba is Malawi's commissioner for the Department of Disaster Management Affairs. He told State Radio Tuesday the move to use excavators follows reports from communities that blood is oozing on top of the rubble of destroyed houses. Those reports are not true, he said.
What we have noted is that actually it's not blood. The water is drying, and because it was stagnant, normally you either have a green agate or red agate. So this is red agate.
Kalemba said the excavators will be used to prove those observations. Rashid White is a traditional leader from Kulinga village, which was heavily affected by mudslide in the Blantyre. He told VOA that he believes many more bodies remain buried under the rubble, saying most of the people in his area remain missing. He says, my village was heavily affected and a lot of people have died here. A lot of lives are lost here. As a village chief, I am deeply concerned. Government statistics show that Cyclone Freddy has so far killed nearly 600 people, with over 500 others still missing. Malawi President Lazarus Chakwera had earlier asked authorities to ensure that all those missing are accounted for. Police had earlier used sniffer dogs, which helped to locate dead bodies of people buried under the rubble. Gaspar Chalela is the Deputy Inspector General of Police responsible for operations.
I was trying to liaise with our counterparts in the MDF that at least in some of the areas we need actually an excavator so that actually we can actually fish through those labels and actually maybe come up with anything that we might find.
Cyclone Freddy also displaced hundreds of thousands of people in southern Malawi who are now sheltered in over 500 evacuation camps. In the meantime, search and rescue operations continue in southern Malawi by aircraft provided by various countries to rescue those trapped in hard-to-reach areas. Lamek Masina for VOA News, Blantyre, Malawi.
A coalition of international companies has denounced anti-LGBTQ legislation Uganda's parliament passed last week, saying it would damage the country's economy. The business coalition, called Open for Business, includes Google, Microsoft, MasterCard, Unilever, Standard Chartered, PwC and Deloitte. The group says the legislation would hamper investment flows and curb tourism. It says that similar discrimination in neighboring Kenya results in a loss of nearly 2% of its gross domestic product annually. The coalition says a provision of the bill that requires companies to report those suspected of being LGBTQ puts them in an impossible situation and undermines the ability to recruit a talented workforce. The group says it also violates human rights laws in the countries where they are headquartered. Uganda's Information Ministry was not immediately available for comment. Experts on the crisis in Chad say there is more to the interim government's recent pardoning of almost 400 rebels than meets the eye. The fighters from the Front for Change and Concord in Chad, or FACT, group were given life sentences last week on various charges, including terrorism and killing former President Idris Dabe, the father of current Chad leader Mahamat Dabe. Darren Taylor reports.
Chad's military captured the rebels from the Front for Change and Concord in April 2021. Idris Deby, who ruled the country for 3 decades, was killed when he went to visit troops fighting on the front lines at the time. Chad analyst at the Africa Diaspora Forum in Johannesburg, Abdul Karim Elgoni, says on the surface, freeing the fact fighters is risky.
Those rebels came from Libya, and in Libya they were supporting General Haftar, and they have received excellent training from the Russians in Libya, and they are very well equipped.
Some other observers are asking why Mahamat Debi released hundreds of well-trained rebels. Chidochase Nyerere from the University of Johannesburg's Institute of Pan-African Thought and Conversation thinks the prisoner release is part of a strategy to ensure Derby's government remains in power.
The pardoning is just a masquerade to try and force these so-called rebels to come to the negotiating table. I say so-called rebels because they are now really opposition political factions. The government itself, the so-called establishment in Chad, is illegitimate.
After Idriss Deby's death, a military council led by his son was established to govern the country for an 18-month transition period. Mahamat Deby was supposed to hand power to an elected government last October, but elections never happened, and Deby remained as interim president. The military then extended the transition period by 2 years, with elections in October 2024. But Elgoni says Deby and his military supporters are not interested in building a just, equal society.
A tribe is ruling Chad, and the rebels are from a different tribe from the north, and they wanted a share of the rule of the country. They want a share of the cake. The tribe that is ruling in Chad, headed by Deby, is not ruling in an inclusive way, and everyone is complaining about it, other different tribes.
He thinks the African Union and international community aren't keen to oppose Mahamat Deby for a variety of reasons.
To be frank with you, no one is happy about another war in Chad or in the region. Not the AU, not the ECOWAS, because Chad is main supporter against Al-Qaeda and its affiliate in West Africa, and not France, not Sudan, which has its western border already bad with tribal fights. So there is no one who has an appetite for a rebel movement to come and disturb the peace.
Elgoni points out many powers also want access to Chad's resources, which include gold, diamonds, and uranium. Nyerere says Chad, like a growing number of African countries, is increasingly in the middle of a battle for influence between the West on one side and China and Russia on the other. He says it appears the Mahamat Deby government wants to use this to its advantage. For VOA News, I'm Darren Taylor in Johannesburg.
Germany may soon send troops to participate in the European Union military mission in Niger. A source told Reuters that the cabinet recently decided to deploy up to 60 soldiers in the country as part of the EU effort to help Niger build up its forces. A final decision is expected by the German parliament by the end of April. In December, the EU decided to establish a three-year military mission to Niger to help improve logistics and infrastructure. It would include at first between 50 to 100 troops with a maximum of 300 at a later stage. Berlin had been training Niger's special forces with about 150 soldiers since 2018, but wrapped up the mission last year. Reuters notes that there are an estimated 1,100 troops in neighboring Mali, mostly near the town of Gao, where they gather reconnaissance for UN peacekeeping mission. And that wraps up this edition of Africa News Tonight. I'm Douglas Impoga in Washington. For all the latest developments on the continent, 24/7, visit our website at voaafrica.com. On behalf of our producer, Mokbil Yabro, and our engineer tonight, Nazwani Kalim, thanks for choosing The Voice of America.